We are going to take a break from going through the book that we've been studying, Philippians. And after much thought and prayer, I thought we need to discuss some topics that are very difficult to discuss in the church, but something that we should be aware of and have a biblical Christian worldview when it comes to these topics. About 3 years ago, I had done a series in May, I believe, of 2021 called The Third Way. And the idea with this series was to take some very hot-button topics and discuss what is the Christian biblical worldview in relation to these topics. And during that series, back then in May 2021, we looked at, I believe, social justice, communism or socialism, and a couple other ones. Well, those aren't easy topics, and they can make us feel very uncomfortable. But when we looked at those different topics, my goal was not to take a political side, whether it might be Republican side or Democratic side or Democrat side, but to look at the third way we should walk, which is what would Jesus do with relations to these questions on these major topics? What does it look like for a Christian to come to these topics and have a biblical worldview and walk the way Jesus would walk? Because I know these things are uncomfortable. And I know as we look at the topic today, we can often get really passionate about it or really apathetic about it and don't want anything to do with it because it stirs up so many emotions in us. And I know as a conservative evangelical church, many, if not most of you, vote Republican. Let's just get that out in the air. There are not very many Democrats probably in our church, although if we go to some other Christian churches, we might find many more Democrats in those churches. But my goal today is not to pick a side, either the Republican side or the Democrat side. I want to find that third way and ask, what would Jesus do in this particular situation? Because regardless of wherever the political winds blow with the Republicans or the Democrats, it doesn't matter. They can change their views, they can change their stances on many issues. We should always be walking the third way, which is, what would Jesus do? So today, we're going to be asking the question, as a Christian, should I vote? To answer this question, like I said, it's going to be very difficult because we maybe have a knee-jerk reaction of saying, well, I know that we should vote, and let me tell you how you should vote. But I'm not looking to do it our way. I'm not looking to do it their way. I'm asking, what is Jesus' way? And to answer this question, should I vote, we first need to go to Scripture and understand what God says about this topic. So that's one thing we're going to do today. After that, I want to look at some objections to this topic that perhaps you have as a Christian as to why maybe you do not vote currently. And then, yes, I do want to talk briefly about the upcoming elections and what it means to us as a Christian. Now, if you're feeling uncomfortable right now, that's okay. If you're worried about where this will go, that's okay. But we need to talk about this, because if we do not talk about this in the church, I know you will talk about it outside of the church, and you will get your information in social media or political pundits or wherever it might be. And so we need to talk about this in the church, even though it might feel uncomfortable, because this is important as a follower of Jesus Christ in the world in which we live. Right? We are to be in the world, just not what? Of the world. So to be in the world means you do not go and hide yourself away from everybody and disassociate with the political process, nor does it mean you become consumed by it and becomes your sole identity either. The third way is to walk Jesus' way. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's find out what God actually says about this topic, should I vote? What we're going to do is look at Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, to help guide us in this process. There's many other places we could go in Scripture, but I want to focus on this one today and discover, what does God say about Christians being involved in whatever government they find themselves under? Whether it's like our government right now, which you might call a federal constitutional republic, it's not a democracy, it's a republic, right? Or if a Christian found them under a socialistic government or a monarchy, this applies to any Christian under any government at the time. And how does this direct how we should vote or if we should vote? Let's look at Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. God says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which is from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, oh, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's minister, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." So how does a Christian live under a secular government system? Because the perfect government, whether we like it or not, we're never going to get there until Jesus returns. And that is going to be a theocracy, a theocratic monarchy in a sense. In the meantime, us Christians throughout history and presently are going to find ourselves under different governments. And so what does it look like for us in particular as Christian Americans to live under our government? And how does that relate to should I vote or not? Well, the first thing we see in verses 1 through 2 is that the third way Jesus tells us to walk is to submit to the government because it is appointed by God. What God is saying here is God has basically divinely elected governments to rule over countries to dispense his justice and to uphold what is good. He has given them the authority to act in his place while he is not here presently and while we live in a sinful world. So the first thing we need to remember is, as a Christian, my job is to submit to the government I find myself under. And the word that is used there for submit, or right now I think in this New King James Version, it's subject. That is the same Koine Greek word that is used in Colossians 3, where it tells wives to submit to their husbands. What you're saying is, the Greek word that's used there is, I'm coming under your authority and allowing you to make decisions for me when it comes to the governance of a country. Now, this does not mean that God approves of all the evil that governments can do. He has simply set it up in our fallen world that the government is supposed to help control a country and guide it and be sort of his judgment over the people. And we as Christians are to sit under that government and go along with it, meaning that we do not rebel against it necessarily, nor do we become so patriotic that it's almost fanatical. But we sit under it, allow it to rule over us, and not rebel against it. Now, we could get into a whole issue about what that looks like and our founding fathers and what they did and everything. We're not going to go there today. But when it comes to voting, what does this mean? Well, it means that the government that we live under in America has asked us to vote and be a part of the government. In fact, believe it or not, we are actually part of the government under this federal constitutional republic. We participate in the government and are, in fact, part of the government in the electoral process. Do you see how that is? And so one of our jobs as we submit to the government is being a part of that voting process. Let's continue on and see what else we see. We also see in verses 3 and 4 that the third way we are to walk is to submit to this government because it is God's servant to reward good and punish the evil. What does that mean? Well, God has instituted the governments to act in his stead when it comes to punishing criminals. And so if we are to live under any government, what God is calling us to do as Christians is to live good and wholesome lives obeying the law. Now again, we could get into, well, does this mean I obey every single law if those laws go against what God says? So if the government tells us we should not worship any god, are we to obey that over what God says to worship him? No, of course not, because things do supersede laws in God's hierarchy. The greatest commandments that Jesus told us about is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are going to take precedent over what happens below that. Jesus brought that up with the Pharisees over and over again. But the third way here, though, in the ideal condition, if the government was functioning the way it should, is to submit to the government because it is punishing criminals and rewarding those who do good. Now, do governments do this perfectly? No. But think of it this way. When it comes to asking that question, should I vote? We have a unique opportunity to guide our country in determining what is good and what is evil. And living in a secular world, it can get morality messed up based on whatever I think or whatever they think. We can base laws on things of the sort of what is the popular opinion or which group has the loudest voice, but we are not to do that as Christians. We are to look at God and let him help us understand what is good and what is evil. And so when it comes to voting, we have a unique opportunity to be a part of the process, electing representatives, as well as voting on referendums or different political ballot issues that determine what is good and what is evil. And so we, when we vote, can impact the government to do what God has called the government to do. What else do we see in this passage? We also see in verse 5 something that I love how God brings this up in this passage. It's not very clear. God says, listen, you don't just submit to the government because you're afraid of what they'll do to you if you do something wrong. You submit to the government because your conscience tells you it's the right thing to do as well. Your conscience is a thing that helps us with our morality, right? It tells us what is right and what is wrong. In fact, I love the definition of conscious means con with science, knowledge. You are with knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. And so one of the reasons why we also submit to the government is because we know that it's the right thing to do, that this is a good thing for people to do, to submit to the authority that God has established to rule over the people, because to rebel against it creates anarchy or bitterness or anger or war. And when we submit to it, this is a good thing. This makes life easier for myself. It makes life easier for other people when we obey a government that is over us. So what does this have to do with voting then? Well, again, if your conscience tells you that it's a moral good to submit to the government, and the government's telling you to be part of a voting process, and we know that voting is not morally wrong, then it's okay to say that voting is a good thing to be a part of. You guys tracking with me? You guys feeling uncomfortable maybe a little bit still? Huh? What else does it say? The last thing we see in this passage is in verses 6 through 7. The third way we are to walk is to give the government what it's due. In verse 6, it says, for because of this, you also pay your taxes, and you render in verse 7, therefore all things that are due, taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom customs are due. But it's interesting that after it talks about you should render taxes and customs to the government, it also goes into fearing those who deserve to be feared, meaning that they uphold the law. This would be like police officers, that if you're an evildoer, you should fear the law because it's sort of God's right hand of justice punishing criminals. It's what God has set up to punish those who do wrong. Same with judges. And we should also give honor to those who deserve honor. It's interesting that God just doesn't get with the practical things like paying your taxes. He also talks about how you relate to the person that might be in a public position of authority over you. That we are to give them the honor they're due, even if we don't like them. We just still give them honor because of the position that they hold. And the Koine Greek word that is used there for render or do is actually the Koine Greek word that is used for a contractual obligation. It's actually one that Jesus uses in Matthew 5:33 when he says that you are to follow through with your promises. What it actually means is to upgive, that you are to give up to those who have authority over you what they are due or what they should be respected to have. So what does this have to do with voting? Well, when we look at our American government, our secular American government, which is a federal constitutional republic, it tells us that part of the things that are due to it are taxes. So as a Christian, because we're legally obligated to pay taxes, Christians should therefore then do what? Pay your taxes. So if you are cheating the government on April, was it 15th? I always get it wrong because I put it in early. If you are trying to find ways and you don't report things on your taxes, you are sinning against God. This is something my wife and I talked about as she does some things on the side like quilting and we're like, should we put that? You know, it'd be really nice if we don't put that because we don't have to pay taxes on it. We actually refiled our taxes this last year because we felt guilty, like we feel like we're stealing from the government and not honoring God's word. So we refiled. But let's talk about voting. Is voting mandatory in our American government? No. So I would not say that if you do not vote, if you ask me, well, Peter, if I don't vote, are you saying I'm sinning because I'm not rendering or giving the government what it's due? No, I don't think I would say that you're sinning because our government doesn't mandate it. But let's say our government did mandate voting. Should a Christian follow through then and obey that law to vote if it was required? Yeah. I think the answer would be yes, because there's nothing morally wrong with voting. I can do that. But our government doesn't do that, doesn't require its citizens to do that. Some countries do, but we're not under that. So I wouldn't say that if you don't vote right now, I don't think you're sinning against God, but I do think you're not rendering what the government is due. Does that make sense? That our involvement in the political process should involve voting as a Christian, following the third way of Jesus, that's a good thing to do. And that perhaps the reason we don't get involved with voting is because, one, you're confused, you have no idea what's going on, so you don't know who to vote for. Or two, you're sort of just apathetic and indifferent to it, because what does it really matter? Or three, you really don't like anybody on that ticket, and you really just don't want to vote. We're going to talk about why I think those aren't good reasons to not vote in a little bit, but let's sort of sum up what we see in Romans 13, answering the question, should I vote as a Christian? I think this is what we can take away from our passage today. I believe that what God is saying is, as a Christian, voting is part of your public duty to your government and to God that will positively affect the United States of America. I do see that Scripture tells us that this is a good thing to be a part of a political process. That as a Christian, it is a good thing that you vote for our representatives and different ballot measures. And if you're not voting, you should ask yourself the question, well, why is that? Now, like I said, this is the biblical stance about voting. I think Jesus, if he were here, I'm going to be bold and say that he would tell us, yeah, be a part of the voting process. Just like when they asked him, they went up to ask Jesus, trying to trick him, saying, hey, what should I do about paying taxes to Caesar? And he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to the Lord what is the Lord's. I think this is giving to Caesar what is Caesar's. Voting is just part of that process. Will we vote in the millennial kingdom? No. Okay? No. So this is not going to be part of our lives forever. It just happens to be the government that we find ourselves under right now. But when Jesus is king, we're not going to be voting. It'll be, yes, my Lord, and I will do what you say, all right? So, but right now, voting is part of our public duty to fulfill, I believe, Romans 13 of rendering the government what it's due. This is something that we should be involved in. But you might hear that and say, I object. I don't know. You know what? I'm not sure I agree with you completely, Peter. I have many reasons why, but you haven't convinced me yet. Let me give you some possible objections that you might have and some hopefully some helpful answers that will help you reason biblically through this as to why I think us Christians should vote and be a part of the political process. Now, I want to give credit to where I got most of this information, because this is not unique to me. I am taking it from a website called What Would You Say? Bob McClure brought it up in one of our Sunday school classes many months ago. It's a great website. I encourage you to go there. They have 3 to 7 minute videos, not only about voting, but also about other political issues, as well as other sensitive topical issues, and giving a Christian worldview as to what you would say in relation to that question. So a lot of this is going to come from this website. Some of it comes from me, but I want to just give credit to where it's due, okay? So check that website out. I believe it's on your handout in here, so you can look at that. But let's say you have the objection, you know what, why should I vote? I just don't see the reason, because politics are it's a very ugly process, and you know what, God's sovereign and he's in control no matter who's in office, so voting really doesn't matter, I'm not going to vote. Well, let's think about that for a moment. While it's true that God is in control, and that he has authority over this earth, I don't think this is a good argument for several reasons. First, the freedom to impact the government through voting, if you look back in history, is a very rare thing. In fact, it's very rare that people are under a government structure that we currently have right now in America. If you look at other countries today, most people do not experience this voting process that you and I experience. In fact, today, only about 4 out of 10 people are in a quote-unquote free society where they can impact the government through voting. Now, we are privileged to be born into this country where we can be a part of the political process, and Scripture tells us that we have a duty to the government that we find ourselves under, and that it's a good thing to be a part of that and to impact our government. So I think this isn't a good reason, because God tells us in Romans 13 to be under your government and be a part of your government and submit to it. And so if we are coming at this with unease or even apathy, I don't think we're truly being grateful for what God has given us and what we find ourselves under. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I being ungrateful by not participating in the political process that I find myself in? Why should you vote, even though you might think politics are ugly? Well, because governments require maintenance. We live in a fallen world with fallen people, and everyone who's involved in the governance in America are not Christians, are they? And just like you need to mow your lawn or tune your car and get the oil changed from time to time so that it properly functions, or so that your lawn doesn't get wild and out of control, voting helps us insert our biblical worldview and correct and maintain the government in which we find ourselves under so that it doesn't devolve into lawlessness. Which is what we might even say we start seeing today, because our government has fallen away from this Judeo-Christian background. It's falling into lawlessness, and for us Christians to step up and be a part of the voting process helps maintain the government the way God described government should be in Romans 13. Do you see that? Why should I vote? Because I just think politics are ugly. Well, a well-maintained government makes life better for everyone, doesn't it? When a government's doing what it's so supposed to be doing, punishing the evil, protecting the innocent, everybody benefits because of that, doesn't it? When bad ideas of how to run the government take root, people get hurt, don't they? By voting, we can help correct some of those mistakes. Babies get to live. Parents get to parent their children without the government being involved. People get to speak freely about the government without being censored. People get to live in safe neighborhoods. You see, voting is not like picking an ice cream flavor. It has consequences. It even has life and death consequences if we are not involved in this process. And we can tangibly impact other people's lives for good by being a part of this process as a Christian. Therefore, I don't think we should be indifferent. I think we should be active in the government in America. You might say, okay, I might agree with you that you're right, I should be involved, even though politics are ugly, and I know God's in control. I should be involved because, yeah, I do want the government to do what it's supposed to be doing under Romans 13, but you know what? Why should I really vote? Because my vote really doesn't matter at all. It's not going to make that much of a difference. I'm not going to impact my culture that much. I'm just one person. What good can I do? I don't think that's a good argument for several reasons. First, one vote does matter a lot in local elections. There's a lot more at stake in the voting process than what people typically think about, which is voting for who the next president of the United States is going to be. There's a lot of things going at the federal level, the state level, and the local level on voting day. We get to vote for state representatives. We get to vote for school board members. And most of those races, believe it or not, are only decided by a few hundred votes, not millions. Only a few hundred votes. There are also ballot measures that determine local and state laws, from utility to transportation to property taxes, things even on abortion, that can make a big difference if we show up at the ballot and give our biblical worldview on these topics. So saying that your vote doesn't count or matter is not really true, especially when it comes to local elections. But here's another thing to consider as well. When lots of people decide that their one vote doesn't matter, that can make a big difference, can it? Let me give you two examples in particular. Back in 2020, when we were voting for the President of the United States and we had Donald Trump and Joe Biden, did you know that in America, there were 240 million people who could have voted if they wanted to? Only, though, 168 million were registered, and only 158 million actually showed up to vote. The difference between 240 million and 158 million is how much? Can you do it real quick? 82 million, all right. 82 million people had the opportunity to vote and did not vote. Joe Biden won the election with 81 million votes. If those other 82 million people showed up to the ballot box and voted, the election could have changed drastically. Do you see that? So when multiple people think their one vote doesn't matter, it can make a big difference. Let me give you more of a local election that came up. This was in 2003. We in this area, if you live in this area, you might not live in the school district, but in this school district, we are District 4. And in May 2023, there's a race between two ladies, and one of them was more liberal, one of them was more conservative. And the more liberal person won the election by only 1,000 votes. In fact, she got 5,566 votes. The other person got 4,558 votes. But if you were to look at the records in Gwinnett County in that school district, in District 4, of how many people are eligible to vote, there are 132,000 people who are eligible to vote in our school district, District 4. That means only 8% of people showed up to vote for that local election. And it was only decided by 1,000 people. By less than 1% of the people in our area decided who is on our school board and determining the future of our children's education. Do you see how important your vote is? If the church would move together and be an active participant in everyone in our churches, not just here, but all our other Christian brothers and sisters around the area, were involved in that election, we could have changed the tide and had somebody who is more conservative to our biblical worldview in that office. So saying your vote doesn't matter is not true in local elections, because when a lot of people don't vote, it can have a big difference. But like I said before, voting is also an act of stewardship. Like I said, Romans 13 tells us that the government was created by God to punish evil and reward the good. That means that the government in a federal constitutional republic, where the citizens elect representatives through voting, we therefore are part of the government. And to fulfill Romans 13, we must exercise the authority given to us to fulfill that biblical worldview in the government, so that we can reward the good and punish the evil. This means, then, that saying my one vote doesn't matter, that's not true when it comes to Romans 13. God says it does matter. You are to be a steward of that one vote that you have. You are to hold that preciously in your hand, that you can impact your culture for good. And by not using that God-given gift, you are squandering something that is beautiful and that could impact people's lives for good. Do you see that? So your one vote does matter. It is important. Well, maybe you're convinced that you should vote, even though politics are ugly, and maybe you're convinced that, okay, my one vote does matter, I believe you. But you look at the ticket and you go, what? Why should I vote? Because I don't like either one of the candidates. They're both terrible in my opinion, so I'm just not going to vote. I don't think that's a good excuse for several reasons. First, I want you to look at voting something different than what people typically look at voting. I want you to look at voting as if you are hiring someone for a job rather than liking them on social media as your friend. When you go to hire someone for a job, you have multiple applicants. And you have to sift through the resumes, and you have to do interviews, trying to understand who this person is and whether or not they're a good fit for the job. You're also certainly looking at their character. You're trying to understand who this person is, what their values are. But you're also trying to understand, can they do the job that you need done? And each candidate might not fill all the check boxes that you wish you could have. You will not find the perfect applicant when you're trying to hire someone for your job. Any job. If you've ever hired anybody, you're not going to find the perfect person. Wilmer came close, but even he's not perfect, okay? So what you have to do is say, okay, out of all the applicants I have, who is the best one for the job? Who's the most qualified for the job? And that's the same when it comes to picking candidates. When you're looking at Trump and Harris, we had to look at them and say, which one is most qualified to follow through with some of my biblical worldview? Which one will advance what I believe and what God says is good, and which one will do more harm than good? Now, both of those candidates, I'll tell you, neither one of them fit perfectly our biblical worldview. Absolutely not. So it's a hard decision. That's why we say, I don't like either one, and I might not want to vote. But don't look at it that way. You're hiring someone for a job. It's a political job, but you're hiring someone, and someone has to fill that role. So as a Christian, we want to look for the best person and get that person in. Likewise, if you're saying, why should I vote? I don't like either candidate. Well, don't just look at the person. Also look at the policies that they hold to. And I know it's really tricky with politicians, right? They like to change their positions often, and you don't know where they stand on things. And they do it to kind of get the popular vote, or most people are doing this, thinking this way. And so, yeah, it can be hard. But you can go on their websites, and you can look and see what are their policies regarding multiple issues, and how does those align with my biblical worldview on those issues. And so you might say, listen, I don't like either candidate. Both of them, their character are awful. And when you look at Trump and Harris, that's maybe what you're feeling. Like, I don't like his character and I don't like her character. They're both terrible, so I won't vote. And that's not a good excuse. Look at their policies then. Which one fits more a biblical worldview policy? Likewise, and last, even if you don't like either candidate, vote for the best team. Think of it like a basketball team. You might not like either coach, but you might like some of the players on the team, all right? So when you look at our options for president, or even if it's more of at a state level for governor or state representative or senator, or if it's even more at a local level, maybe you don't like the candidates very well, but you look at their team that they have under them and you're like, okay, I like some of those people better than the other person's team. Because remember, when it comes to the presidential race, they're going to determine who's going to be a part of their cabinet, who's over off, you know, where you have the my goodness, my brain's just going blank. You have the Department of Education, you have the Department of this, you have the Department of that. Also, the president puts forth judges' names to be a part of the Supreme Court and other areas of the court system. So who would they pick to be a part of their team? And do you like that team better than the other team? Again, you won't find a perfect team. You won't like everybody on it. But you do need to find one team that you like better than the other. And I know that takes a lot of work, and it can be rather hard. And when both candidates are flawed, we can gain clarity, though, by looking at their policies and the team that they have. Listen, I know voting is not easy. It's a lot of work, and it's hard to pick the candidate which fits your biblical worldview most. So let me get very practical here and end on this. I'm not here to push voting Republican. I'm not here pushing to vote Democrat. We could have a discussion about that off the stage and everything. What I'm pushing here is for you to follow Jesus Christ. That's what this is about. Because when we start pushing a political aisle, we can start hating the other group, can't we? And what did Jesus say to do to our enemies? It's actually in Romans 12. Love your enemy. So we got to be careful we don't go too far picking a side where we get our identity as being a part of the Republican side or the Democrat side. That is not who you are. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. But we still need to vote. So how should you vote? Well, for those of you here in the building, I've actually done some of the homework for you so that you understand where the presidential race candidates, the two, I know there's other ones, third party, and you could say, you know, I could vote for one of them. And if your conscience tells you to vote for one of them, go ahead. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't vote for a third party. But the two that are most likely contenders, that's what I have here. I've done some of the homework for you on our major issues there at the top, which deal with abortion, the economy, border, crime, free speech, guns, Israel. You could put even climate on there as well. What I've done is put down what Kamala Harris's view is, what Donald Trump's view is, and what the biblical worldview is on this. I know it's very short and small, but I'm hoping that it gives you some information so you have a better idea of what's going on in the political process. Because I believe, as Christians, we should vote. And we need to be well-informed voters. I don't like being a part of this. I don't like doing this, okay? This is not fun for me. I do this because I'm one of the shepherds of your flock. I want to help you be well-informed followers of Jesus Christ. So I'm trying to help you here. Get some information so that you can go to the polls and vote. Because here's the thing. I forgot to mention this earlier. If you're convinced that you should vote, but you're not registered to vote, tomorrow, October 7th, is the last day to register to vote. So that's actually one of the reasons why I preached today. So if you're not registered to vote, go and get registered. Now, I'm actually putting something on our website that you can find the link where you need to go to register to vote, but I encourage you to go to vote. I know we don't like to get political in the church, and we often wonder how much politics should be in the church. I think according to Romans 13, it's okay to talk about that we should be part of the voting process in our government, okay? So this is to help you on the presidential election. And those of you online, you can go on our website, and you'll see right there on the homepage, there'll be something that says, should I vote? If you click on that, you can get this downloaded and see for yourself. If you flip the page, though, the next thing you will see has to do with state and local elections. Now, this will not pertain to all of you because you might live in a different area. I encourage you to go on ivoterguide.com to figure out where you are at and who your House representative might be, your state senator or state representative. I put in my address. I live here locally in Little Burn. These might be different for you, but what I try to do is give you the people who are running, what party they are part of, their website, so that you can go there and do your research, and then I put where they stand on some major issues so you can understand just where they stand on, so that you can compare it against the biblical worldview. The other one on the back, though, is all the local, they're calling referendums or amendments that they have going on. Because there's things, have you ever gone to the polls and you're voting and you're like, I have no idea what this is all about? And then maybe you're even trying to prepare and you go online and you read the thing and you're like, I still have no idea what this is about. I've tried to do some of the homework so you are informed on what to vote for. Now, I'm not saying, actually, on these ones, too, I'm like, I think as Christians, we could go either way on pretty much all of these three referendums amendments. I don't think if you chose to say yes or no, I don't think you're violating our biblical standards. I'll tell you that right now. And if you'd ask me, well, Peter, what are you voting on right now? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, this sounds good, I guess, but yes on all three, maybe. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm leaning right now. And we can actually say that in church, by the way. We can't support a candidate in church. We can say yes. But I really don't know. But I wrote down as much as I could so you understood what it's about. And he even said, like, okay, this is how much it passed in our state legislature, the House state and the Senate state. Here's what they voted on it, if that helps you. But like I said, if you voted one way or the other, I don't think you're breaking your biblical worldview. It's just more about, hey, do you want more property tax that you can be exempt from? Hey, do you want a Georgia tax court? Hey, do you want to give private businesses more opportunity to claim exemptions on like farm equipment and stuff? And you might be just like, I don't care. Again, I get it. Hopefully this will give you enough information to decide where you should land. My point here today is to try to encourage you to see that being part of the voting process here in America is a good thing as a Christian. We have a unique opportunity to impact our government for good with our biblical worldview. And yes, despite what the world says and the media says or anywhere, yes, your faith should impact your politics. It is garbage if anybody says the two should be separate. You know they're lying because their faith, whatever it might be in, is impacting their politics. Everybody has faith in something. Even if they say it's in nothing, if you say you have faith in nothing, it means you believe anything, okay? Whatever you want to believe at that time. So everybody has faith in something, and it impacts their political worldview and how you should vote. So yes, you should let your Christian values impact the way you vote. And that is what I'm calling you to do. To follow Jesus the third way, not a political party, but him. Follow Christ. What would Jesus say about these issues and these candidates who are actually going into office? And how should I then, as a Christian, be involved and vote? Now, over the next few months, in October and a little bit of November, what I'm thinking of doing here is still pausing from our study in the book of Philippians, and I want to address the biblical worldview on some of these topics that are very difficult to talk about, so that you, though, as a Christian, can walk away going, I understand what God says about this topic, and I understand how it should impact the way I vote in the political process. Again, I'm not going to be saying vote for this person, that person, that's what I'm saying. What does God say about these topics? And so, I'm going to be talking about topics like abortion, maybe the economy, immigration, maybe climate change. The idea here is to not to take a political side, but to ask, what does God say about these issues? So then I can make a well-informed decision to follow Christ and use my knowledge of truth and goodness and what is beautiful and biblical and what is godly to impact the way I vote in the upcoming election, okay? You might be uncomfortable about that, and that's okay. You can sit in that. My whole heart here, I know this is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable being up here. My whole heart here is to make us mature followers of Jesus Christ who follow after him. Because he is our King. He is our Lord. He is our Master. And we answer to him eventually when we stand before him. And I want all of you to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You took what I gave you as a Christian living in this country called America at this time period in history that has the ability to vote. You used that privilege, that beautiful gift, to impact the world for good. That's what my heart is in this. So let's discover what the third way to walk is, the way Jesus walks. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, these are difficult topics. These are hard to chew as Christians, but Lord, we want to dive into these difficult topics with your help, the Holy Spirit guiding us, so that we understand what you say we should do as followers of Jesus Christ, how we can faithfully obey you and to impact this world for good. Oh God, I pray you're part of this conversation and you work on our hearts as we discuss these things, as we walk away and have conversations after church and throughout the week, Lord. Let us be encouraging and stirring one another on to good works, Lord, so that your name is glorified by not only us, but they see our good works and they glorify your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.